Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. We're doing another deep dive today, looking at ways to, well, make life a bit more effective. And if you're anything like most people, you probably know that feeling. You look at your to-do list.
Which isn't even a list anymore. It's like a novel.
Exactly, a scroll. And you just feel kind of paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to grab the easy wins, you know, the small, quick tasks just to feel like we're making progress.
Yeah, it's that classic trap, isn't it? Confusing activity with accomplishment. We naturally put off the big, important, maybe slightly scary project.
Right.
And instead, you know, clean out the inbox or organize something trivial. We like the easy stuff first.
And that exact tendency, that paralysis, is why we're diving into Brian Tracy's, well, legendary book, Eat That Frog.
Great title.
It is catchy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little graphic. But the whole idea is, in that metaphor,
mm-hmm.
the frog is your biggest, most crucial task.
The one you're most likely to procrastinate on.
Yep. But also the one that gives you the biggest positive impact if you just do it.
So the goal here, our mission for this deep dive, is really to give you a shortcut. Tracy lays out 21 methods, proven ways to stop procrastinating.
21? That's a lot.
It is. So we're boiling those down into the core actions, the stuff you can use to boost your own effectiveness, like tomorrow morning, stop staring at the list.
And start eating those frogs.
Exactly. First thing.
Okay, so let's unpack the person behind this system, Brian Tracy.
Mm.
Who is he? And, you know, why should we listen to his advice on getting things done?
Well, he's definitely a big name in personal and professional development globally. But his credibility, I think, it goes beyond just the sheer numbers, you know, training millions of people, consulting hundreds of companies.
Mm.
His system really works because he built it himself from the ground up through experience.
Right. I read that his background is key. He didn't just come up with theories in an office.
Not at all. He started out doing unskilled labor, and just through like careful observation, hard work, and figuring out what was actually efficient, he worked his way up.
All the way up to COO, right, of a pretty big company.
Yeah, a $265 million development company. So his expertise comes from taking what high achievers actually do in the real world.
The practical stuff.
The practical stuff, exactly. And synthesizing it into a really direct, no-nonsense system. If something didn't work in the messy reality of business, it just didn't make the cut for the book.
Okay, so he's like the ultimate practitioner who figured it out, systematized it, and then became the coach. That makes the advice feel much more grounded.
Absolutely. His whole perspective is about immediate application and getting measurable results. It kind of cuts through all the academic jargon you sometimes get with time management theories.
Okay, so with that practical angle in mind, let's look at the book itself, Eat That Frog. It promises to be this tactical guide. How does it actually help us move past just, you know, basic to-do lists?
Well, the core promise is really a shift, moving from just being busy and reacting to things.
Putting out fires.
Right. To being proactive, focused, and actually effective. Tracy makes you confront this central idea, which really hinges on the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule.
Oh, yes. The 80-20 rule. We hear about it a lot. How does Tracy use it here?
He argues that real productivity, like high-level productivity, comes from building a solid habit. The habit of focusing your time and energy consistently on the few things, that vital 20%,
mm-hmm.
that actually produced 80% of your important results. Mm. If you can just zero in on that one most important task and crucially finish it, complete it, that's the key to success and frankly, feeling good about your work. So the book covers these 21 principles that all connect, tackling procrastination, psychology, getting clear on goals, prioritizing like a pro, and then executing. It's like a complete toolkit.
Okay, a toolkit. And like any good structure, it needs a solid foundation. Tracy says the absolute first step is clarity. But how do we get clear when our thoughts feel like, well, chaos sometimes?
He's pretty blunt about it. The biggest single reason we fail or waste time is just lack of clarity. We haven't really decided exactly what we want to achieve.
Makes sense.
So he offers this 7-step goal setting process. The main point is turning vague ideas into a clear, written plan. He calls it your menu for success.
That act of writing it down, it does something, doesn't it? It's more than just organization.
Oh, absolutely. It engages different parts of your brain. When you decide what you want, write it down, put a deadline on it, make a list of steps, organize it, take immediate action, and then commit to doing something every single day.
Wow, that's the 7 steps right there.
That's the process. It gets your subconscious involved.
Yeah.
But having the written plan isn't quite enough. You then have to plan your day, and this is where his 6P formula comes in.
The 6P formula. Okay, what's that?
Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. It is, and the payoff he claims is huge. Every minute you spend planning saves up to 10 minutes when you actually do the work.
10 minutes save for every 1 minute plan. That's an incredible return.
Yeah.
So why don't people do it more? If it saves so much time, why skip the planning when you're busy?
I think because planning feels like you're not doing anything yet, right? It feels like a delay. And we mistake frantic activity for actually getting important things done.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So the simple fix Tracy suggests is powerful.
Mm.
Make your daily list with priorities already marked the night before.
The night before.
Yeah. It does two things. Gets rid of that what should I do now decision fatigue first thing in the morning, and lets your subconscious kind of mull over the tasks while you sleep.
Okay, so you wake up with a plan, but then you have this list. How do you really figure out what's the actual frog? What's the vital few versus the trivial many, especially when everything feels urgent?
That leads us straight into prioritization. And the core method for identifying your biggest frog is looking at the consequences.
Consequences.
Okay. Yeah. What are the long-term consequences, positive or negative, of getting this task done?
Yeah.
Or not getting it done? If a task has really significant potential impact down the road, that's your A1 frog.
That really shifts the focus, doesn't it? Away from just what's screaming loudest right now,
mm-hmm.
towards what actually matters long-term. Strategically.
Yeah, exactly. And he gives us a tool to systematize that strategic thinking, the ABCDE method.
Oh, I heard of this one. It sounds really practical.
It's fantastic. A really ruthless way to prioritize, actually.
Ruthless, I like it. Okay, so break it down. How does ABCDE work?
You list everything you have to do, then assign a letter. A tasks are the absolute must-dos. Serious negative consequences if you don't do them. These are your frogs.
Your biggest, ugliest frogs.
Right. And if you have more than one A task, you have to number them. A1, A2, A3, and so on. The A1 is the absolute biggest, ugliest frog you eat first.
Got it. A1 first. No exceptions.
No exceptions. And here's where the discipline, the ruthless part comes in. Because the other letters are basically traps.
Traps. Yeah.
B tasks are things you should do. They have mild consequences if you don't. Maybe someone's a little unhappy, but it's not critical.
Right.
C tasks are things that are nice to do, like grabbing coffee with someone or checking news headlines. Zero consequences if you don't do them.
Okay.
D tasks are things you can and should delegate to someone else. Free up your time. And E tasks are things you should eliminate. Just stop doing them altogether. They add no value.
Wow. Eliminate. That takes some courage.
It does. And the whole system hinges on one unbreakable rule. You never do a B task if you have an A task left undone. Never work on a lower priority item while a higher priority item is sitting there.
That clarity is powerful. Okay, so that lets us move into actually doing the work. Execution.
Yeah.
And you mentioned one technique earlier that sounded interesting. Creative procrastination.
Yeah, it sounds a bit counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It does, like a fancy excuse to put things off. How is this actually a tool for focus and not just, well, laziness?
It's about being strategic with inaction. Look, you know you can't do everything on your list, right? Yeah. It's impossible.
True.
So creative procrastination means you deliberately choose to postpone, ignore, or maybe delegate the little things, the tadpoles, those low-value B or C tasks.
Ah, they're tadpoles.
Yeah. It's not about avoiding all work. It's about consciously deciding not to do the trivial stuff right now so you free up mental energy and time for your actual A1 frog. It's procrastination on the small stuff.
That makes sense. It's actually quite liberating when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
So you're clearing the decks to focus on your key result areas, your KRAs.
Exactly. KRAs are those critical parts of your job you absolutely must do well to succeed. And Tracy simplifies this even more with something he calls the law of three.
Law of three.
He suggests that usually there are about three core tasks in any job that account for like 90% of your actual contribution to your company or your goals.
90% from just three things.
That's the idea. So if you're in sales, for example, it might be prospecting, presenting, and closing the deal. Everything else, while maybe necessary, is secondary support activity. Identifying and focusing on those top three KRAs gives you huge leverage.
Huge leverage.
Yeah.
But what about those times when the A1 task, the frog, just feels enormous, like overwhelmingly huge, and you just freeze up staring at it?
Yeah, the giant frog problem. That's that psychological barrier, the fear of starting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he offers techniques for slicing and dicing the task. breaking it down.
Slicing and dicing. Okay.
One is the salami slice technique. You just commit to working on one tiny piece of it. Maybe just 5 or 10 minutes. Just one slice.
I think I've done that without knowing the name.
Mm-hmm.
Like when facing a huge organizing project, just saying, okay, I'll just do this one file folder. It lowers the mental hurdle.
Precisely. Or there's the Swiss cheese method. You punch a hole in the task by deciding to work on it for just a set short period, maybe 15 minutes. Then you stop.
So you just make a start, create some momentum.
Exactly. Get the ball rolling. Because the ultimate discipline, the final piece, is what he calls single handle every task.
Single handling.
Yeah.
Meaning once you start, you don't stop.
Yes. Once you start your A1 frog, you stick with it. Oh. Persist without diversion, without checking email, without getting coffee, until that specific task is 100% complete.
Wow. 100%. That takes focus.
It does. But he argues that this single handling, this completion, triggers a release of endorphins in your brain, yep. That feel-good chemical.
Ah, the satisfaction of finishing.
Right. And that creates this powerful positive feedback loop. It makes you feel good, makes you feel capable, and actually motivates you to start the next task. Finishing is key.
Okay. So stepping back from all these individual techniques, if we look at the whole system, what are the main core messages that really hold it all together?
I think there are maybe four really critical themes running through it. First, and we touch on this, clarity drives performance. Vague goals are the enemy. Thinking on paper, planning, that's the highest leverage thing you can do. It cuts down that decision fatigue.
Okay, clarity first. What's second?
Second, ruthless prioritization is essential. Success isn't really about doing everything. It's about making tough calls about what not to do.
Right. The East asks, eliminating.
Exactly. It makes you think, doesn't it? Like, what low-value thing are you doing right now, maybe out of habit, that you could just stop immediately?
Good question. Okay, third theme.
Third, and this is really important, I think. Procrastination is psychological. It's not just about managing your calendar. Techniques like slicing the salami or Swiss cheesing, they're designed to lower the mental barrier.
The fear of starting.
Yeah, you're managing your own psychology, your confidence, not just the clock.
It's a big insight. And the fourth.
And fourth, it all rests on personal management as the foundation. You can have the best system in the world, but if you're not managing your energy levels, sleep, diet, exercise, and actively working to get better at your key result areas, the system won't save you. If you're weak in a key skill required for your job, that task itself becomes a giant frog you're terrified to even look at.
So you have to manage yourself first. Got it. The book also seems packed with these really memorable, simple sayings.
Oh, definitely. Little nuggets of wisdom.
Which ones really jumped out at you?
Okay, well, the absolute classic first. If you have to eat two frogs, eat the ugliest one first.
Huh.
That's basically the whole philosophy, right? If you have multiple tough, important tasks, tackle the absolute hardest, most daunting, highest impact one immediately. Get it done.
So even if the rest of the day goes sideways, you've already banked that major win.
Exactly. Second one, every minute you spend in planning saves as many as 10 minutes in execution. We mentioned the 10x return. This just reframes planning completely. It's not wasted time. It's the highest value activity you can do.
Changes how you see that first hour of the day. Okay, another one.
Third, the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on your most important task, to do it well and to finish it completely, is the key to great success. This really highlights how rare and how valuable that kind of deep, uninterrupted focus actually is in today's world.
So true. Hard to achieve.
Very. And maybe one to wrap it up. Successful people are simply those with successful habits. It just boils it down. Success isn't about random bursts of genius. It's about building systematic, repeatable behaviors, habits.
Right. It's about the process, not just the outcome.
Yeah.
Okay. So that brings us to the really practical part. How do we take this frog eating idea and actually use it, like starting tomorrow morning?
Okay. Let's make it concrete. Professionally. Say your frog is writing that difficult strategic report you've been putting off.
Yep. Know that feeling.
The application is clear. Block out the first 60 or 90 minutes of your workday before you even glance at your email. Use your peak mental energy solely for that A1 task.
Protect that prime time.
Okay.
What about for personal goals, things outside of work?
For big personal stuff, like maybe learning a language or a major home renovation, use that salami slice idea. Don't get overwhelmed by the whole huge project. Just focus on the very next tiny step.
Like just practice French verbs for 15 minutes or just clear off one shelf in the garage.
Exactly. Just one small slice. Make it easy to start. We can even apply it to health, right? For many people, the morning workout is the frog.
Definitely can feel like it.
Eating that frog first thing means your health goal gets prioritized. Plus, you get that mental burden out of the way for the rest of the day. You start the day feeling accomplished.
Yeah, starting with a win.
Yeah.
I think the big insight here is the sense of control you get back, isn't it? You stop feeling like you're just reacting to things all day,
mm-hmm.
and you start building this positive momentum right from the beginning.
Absolutely. And for me, the most valuable lesson overall is really that paradigm shift. Productivity isn't about cramming more things into your day. It's about doing more of the right things, the important things.
Yeah.
It's that lasting shift from just being busy spinning your wheels to actually being effective and making progress on what matters.
You know, what surprised me most reading about this was how much focus Tracy puts on the E in ABCDE, the elimination.
Ah, yes. Getting rid of tasks.
Yeah. It takes real guts to actually stop doing something, to say no or just let go of tasks that might feel productive but actually deliver zero real results. It's hard to break those old habits.
It is hard, absolutely. But it's crucial, isn't it? You have to clear out the clutter to make space for that A1 frog. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening.
Yeah.
What is that one task? Think about it right now that you've really been avoiding. That ugliest frog on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
What if you decided right now to write it down tonight, make it your absolute A1 priority, and commit to eating it first thing tomorrow morning?
Just tackle it head on. And remember, that minute you spend planning it tonight
could save you 10 minutes tomorrow. It's worth a try, right?
Definitely food for thought. Or maybe frog for thought.
Let's go with that.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ecotra Foundation.